friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Side of Sports. I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington. I'm stepping in for Sunny Young. Hello and welcome. Let's start off with some stories making headlines in the world of soccer. Lionel Messi made his much-anticipated League One debut for Paris Saint-Germain on Sunday with a win over Brest. However, it was Kylian Mbappe who was the star of the game, scoring a powerful header in the 4-2 win, showing that Real Madrid is right in upping their offer in their desire to attract the young World Cup winner. Meanwhile, Cristiano Ronaldo and Manchester United finally reached an agreement to bring him back to the team on which he played from 2003 to 2009. But getting Ronaldo back to Manchester United was not easy. Manchester United fans had spent more than a decade hoping to get Ronaldo back. However, their arch-rival Manchester City had also expressed interest in him. But it all came down to loyalty and some pressure from his former teammates and soccer legends like Rio Ferdinand and Patrice Evra to get Ronaldo back to a team where he established himself as one of the greatest players ever. Now, Ronaldo's transfer comes a few weeks after another soccer legend, Messi, transferred to PSG from Barcelona. And so the question is, how do all these moves and transfers change the dynamics of European soccer as teams position themselves for some of the major tournaments in the coming years? And for that, I reached out to Loic Youth. He's been watching the transfers closely and joins me via phone from Addis Ababa in Ethiopia to break it down for us.
Without a doubt, Ronaldo going back to Manchester United is probably the biggest buzz right now in the football world. Prior to that, we thought Messi's transfer to PSG was going to be the biggest of the summer. But just like that, the transfer window has quickly changed. And one thing else that's in the pipeline right now is Kylian Mbappe. He could be going to Real Madrid. It's still up in the air. But those three definitely have been the biggest transfers. We could look at maybe Varane leaving Real Madrid or Ramos leaving Real Madrid as well. So there have been quite a few big transfers, but I guess Mbappe, Ronaldo, Messi, those ones are taking most of the headlines.
So, Loic, when does the transfer window, Real Madrid has just upped their bid on Kylian Mbappe, when can we see any movement on that? And is there a point when it's going to be closed off?
Well, I mean, so the deadline is tomorrow, and I'm in Ethiopia right now. So definitely before midnight tomorrow here in Ethiopia, the transfer window will be closed.
Okay.
So that also gives Real Madrid a really, really tiny window to get their bid accepted from PSG. But now the issue is more PSG are more reluctant to letting the player go because Real Madrid have put in substantial bids, but PSG don't seem interested in entertaining those bids at the moment.
So, and looking at how Kylian Mbappe has been performing, especially yesterday's match, it is unlikely that PSG would let him go at this point.
Oh, absolutely. Because PSG's ultimate goal right now is to win the Champions League.
Yeah.
So having Neymar, I mean, when they made it to the final 2 seasons ago, they already had Neymar and Mbappe. So now adding Messi, who is arguably one of football's best players, that gives them even a much better chance. So from PSG's point of view, you see why they wouldn't want to lose one of their best offensive weapons right before the transfer window closes.
Now, like you said, Messi transferred from Barcelona to PSG, we thought that was going to be the big transfer of the season, the big news of the season. But then the Ronaldo news happened. Talk to us for people who have not been following it closely. What would it have meant for Ronaldo to join Man City, and why did that not happen? Especially that, you know, Man City had expressed interest in him.
Right. So now, football fans, you need to understand rivalry in football is a really big thing. So when Ronaldo first broke out on the football scene, he signed as a young player for Manchester United. He won them a few Premier League titles. He won them a Champions League as well. And he won his first Ballon d'Or with Manchester United. So pretty much he's an idol whenever you talk about Manchester United. And he's one of their best number sevens historically. So now when Man City came in with the bid, for United fans, it was almost like, how can you go join the traitor? You know, so that started bringing up a lot of uproar among Man United fans, because this is someone who you guys brought at a young age. You guys formed him into one of the world's renowned names.
Right.
So for him
So what did it come down to? What were some of the pressure points that he had to deal with in making this decision?
Okay, so first of all, there's Well, there are unconfirmed reports that City didn't want to pay the amount that Juventus wanted for Ronaldo, and United agreed to pay. But on the other hand, there are rumors that the current player, Bruno Fernandes, as well as former United players, Evra and Rio Ferdinand, once they heard the rumors linking him to City, they stepped in and gave him a call just to kind of reorient his focus, I guess.
Reorient his focus.
No, because once again, City are the rivals, and City have won almost everything except the Champions League. Right. So when you get a player of Ronaldo's caliber, he could get them that one step closer.
You're going for the big prize.
Exactly. So these United legends couldn't sit around and let a player of this caliber go bridge the gap between two rivals. It was almost impossible.
That was Loic Youth, a Cameroonian soccer analyst based in Ethiopia's capital, Addis Ababa. Voice of America! So how are people reacting to five-time Ballon d'Or winner Cristiano Ronaldo's move to Manchester United? Prince Nesta hit the streets of Accra in Ghana and brings us this report. Sporty greetings, Prince, and what are the people saying?
Sporty greetings to you too, Jackson. Cristiano Ronaldo's recent move back to Old Trafford from Juventus has sparked varied reactions among Ghanaian football fans. Portuguese star scored 118 goals in 292 games for the club between 2003 and 2009, winning three Premier League titles in the Champions League. Here are some reactions from the streets of Accra on his sensational return to Manchester United.
Sometimes in life, that's how it is, because you can't just stay for one place forever. You know, but definitely you have to leave. So maybe that's a time for him to also move.
Ronaldo is Ronaldo. I think when he even went to Madrid, see in a space of time, just in hours, see that the jerseys and those stars, they sold out. And the last time when I was listening to Guardiola on Ronaldo, he says something, Ronaldo and Messi, there are some few players. Ronaldo, Messi, they determine where they go. It's not like, they will say, I want to go to this place and you have to make sure they get there. Ronaldo, everywhere he goes, even when he left La Liga, the entire viewership went down totally. So as for Ronaldo, he's a real goat, man. I'm an Arsenal fan, but when it comes to Ronaldo, I don't joke with Ronaldo. He's a goat.
That time Ronaldo go, you don't have any strong players or the best players like Cristiano Ronaldo. That is why you need Cristiano Ronaldo. Cristiano Ronaldo is bad. So I'm happy. I know that Cristiano Ronaldo will collect the Premier League. That is why.
Was it a good choice not to choose Manchester City, but to choose Manchester United?
Maybe I think that Manchester City was delaying the deal. That's the reason why he chose Manchester United over Man City. Ronaldo is a legend to Manchester United. That's the reason why he moved to Manchester United. Because Sir Alex Ferguson also called him rather to come back to Manchester United.
Oh, I think that is a great move, yeah. It's better moving to his old club, right? Oh, I think if it was me, I would have chosen City instead of Man United, but he thinks otherwise. He was thinking that, going in for Man City and playing against his old club, he wouldn't like that. So it's better he going for his old club rather than her.
That's unexpected. No one thought of it. Even if Ronaldo supposed to move, we all were not expecting Manchester United. Me, when I started hearing the news, I thought maybe for the squad Man City have right now, it will fit him very well. But it will be also very dicey for a Manchester legend like Ronaldo to go to City. And that's it. It's a great comeback.
So as for football, in terms of the strength of a club, it doesn't only depend on the players, but sometimes it also depends on the coaches. For instance, when Alex Ferguson was coaching the Manchester United, he did a lot for. But when he left Manchester United, things were not like as when he was coaching. So I think the coach also is a factor for a strong team or a club.
Do you think to some extent, the Ronaldo factor puts in even a greater threat to, you know, them maybe winning the Champions League or Premier League?
Yeah, it can have influence on other teams that Ronaldo is playing Manchester. And I am sure that definitely it may have effect on the club, as Manchester, they will improve than before, because Manchester needs someone like Cristiano Ronaldo. So definitely it will improve.
To make a difference, definitely. There'll be a lot of difference when you move from Juventus to Manchester. It will make it's a large difference, you know. Definitely, they are going to be stronger, yeah.
The competition will be very tough in England, because Cristiano Ronaldo was a former player at England, so they knew him. The matches will be very tough. And because of the Ronaldo,
he alone can do the work. When he went to Juventus, he was doing all that, was scoring everywhere. I think 100 goals just in 2 seasons, but he didn't take them to where they would have wanted him to take them to. So it depends on the whole thing. If the other guys, Pogba and other guys, Rashford and Cole, would do their job, why not? Ronaldo is Ronaldo. Everywhere he go, he will perform. Individually, he will perform, but it depends on the team.
Yeah, I support Chelsea, but now I take Manchester United ahead of Chelsea in the title contender now, because Manchester is Ronaldo is a very good player, because it's a goal machine. Yeah, I take Manchester winning the Premier League, I take 8 out of 10. And the Champions League, I take like 6 out of 10.
Yeah, I think so, because Ronaldo, we all know, is a great player. And one thing, he scores goals. Whether he plays or not, he scores. So I think that other team, they should scare off him. But the one thing I would say is that a team is made of 11 players. And it's not only one person that makes a team. For instance, let's use Juventus, for instance. Everybody could have said that, Cristiano Ronaldo moving to Juventus, that means Juventus, they are going, that particular year, they will win the Champions League, but it wasn't so. So that's it. So in my opinion, a team is made up of 11 players, and it's not only one player that makes a team. And a team can only win a Champions League or a trophy when there is a teamwork. The individual play can be there, but yes, still, they can't win anything. Yeah, so I think that if the teamwork is there and they understand themselves, why not? They can win a Champions League. Out of 10, I'll give them 7 out of 10 for winning the Premier League. Yeah, I'll give them 7 out of 10. And with the case of Champions League, I'll give them 6 out of 10. And who knows? Nobody thought Chelsea could have won the Champions League last year. But they did. So I give them the benefit of the doubt. Yeah.
They can cause a surprise. They are not favorites. For Champions League and even the EPL, the inclusion of Ronaldo doesn't make them favorite, but they can cause a surprise. Yeah, that's what I think. They will by all means win something. Yeah, they will win something. But to become just favorite like that, I don't think so.
Yeah, definitely, because sometimes it depends, you know, when a lot of people just pray for you, you know, I think you see a difference in it. I think Manchester is good to go.
I also asked residents about their take on Arsenal's dismal performance this season.
As for Arsenal, I cannot say much about them. I cannot say much about them, because I know that they have been trying to do their best, but this time around I think they don't have chance for that. They don't have chance in this season. Yeah, that's what I know about it.
It depends on the team, and maybe some will say that it is the player, some will say that it's the coach, some will say that it's the board. So it will depend on the team to decide which person should go, whether it's the coach or they have to. I think that Arsenal, they need to buy players. It's not the coach. That is my opinion. I think that they need to buy players, but it's not the coach.
Arteta is a bankrupt coach, because you don't have any idea about it. Like Frank Lampard, he's a PE teacher.
Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nesta in Accra, Ghana.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. And let's go to East Africa for some basketball news, where Uganda defeated Cameroon in the ongoing AfroBasket tournament in Kigali, Rwanda, only to fall to newcomer. That is the world's newest country, South Sudan. Reporter Mugume Davis Kwakarenji has more. Hello, Davis.
For a Monday greetings to Tutu Jackson and our listeners, South Sudan defeated Uganda Silverbacks, the Uganda main national basketball team, by 88-86 points this Sunday evening in Kigali in the ongoing AfroBasket 2021 tournament. The excitement of more than a dozen South Sudanese fans in attendance. Lik Deng John, a South Sudanese student in Kigali, was one of them. He said it was a good feeling to have some good news about his country, very often mentioned in news because of conflict.
I was very happy about it because we were able to win the match, so I was happy. You know, this is like the first time South Sudan is coming for basketball, and I'm really happy about it. You know, South Sudan is only known about war. When they hear South Sudan, it's only war. But we really have young, talented people who have talent, but all need support and unity. But, you know, through sport, we can promote peace. What we need is, like, for them to take the trophy.
The Silverbacks had responded well from an earlier defeat to Senegal by putting an impressive display as they defeated West Africans Cameroon 80-66. Despite defeat, George Garanapolas, Uganda Silverbacks coach, applauded his players.
We put ourselves in a bad way in the first half, but we still kept it close. I think we were down six, playing a lot worse than down six, in my opinion. Struggled to figure out pick and roll coverage for most of the game. Went to some switching in the second half, which helped us, kept them off the offensive glass. It was a great game. Really fun game to be a part of. A lot of ups, a lot of downs. I think there was eight lead changes, specifically in the second half. Disappointed in the result, just because we know we want to win. Not disappointed in our effort.
He said he believes his team can still progress the next round.
This team responds to adversity. They really do. And I think, thankfully, we still have an opportunity to play and an opportunity to qualify for the quarterfinals, which is great. We're going to play a very worthy opponent. It's not going to get any easier. But this is a group that responds really well to adversity. We're going to watch the film. We're going to talk about it. I'll talk to guys individually as well. And I got to do my job and do a better job as a coach of putting them in positions to succeed and continuing to figure out how we can push this thing forward. But if there's any group that I've ever been around that I got faith is going to bounce back from a loss like that, it's this one.
Tony Drareba, Uganda Silverbacks guard, agrees.
Of course, the mentality is next game, next game. It's just a bang-bang situation for us, so we have to pick ourselves up and just get our heads into the next game. And we learn from every game. We learn from every game, and some of the mistakes we've been making consistently came to, you know, bite us in this game. So I think now everyone is going to have a clearer picture of what needs to be done, you know, especially from a tough, very close loss like this. I think the lessons will stick better this time going into the Nigeria game.
Uganda will have to defeat powerhouse Nigeria, while South Sudan will bat it out with neighbors Kenya for a slot at the quarterfinals. For the Sunny Side of Sport, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarenji in Kampala, Uganda.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, everyone. This is Ambassador Mary Onyale, Olympic medalist, five-time African champion in the sprint event. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
And let's go to West Africa. In Sierra Leone, the country has five athletes representing it at the 2020 Tokyo Paralympics Games. This is the first time in the country's history to have more than one athlete at the Paralympics. At this year's games, over 4,000 athletes are expected to compete across 22 different sporting disciplines. So, how prepared are Sierra Leonean athletes to compete at the Paralympics? Reporter Ophaniel Gooding joins us from Freetown, Sierra Leone.
Four athletes are representing Sierra Leone at the 2020 Tokyo Paralympic Games, which was officially opened on Tuesday. This is the first time in the country's history to have more than one athlete at the Paralympic. At this year's game, over 4,000 athletes are expected to compete across 22 different sporting disciplines. How prepared Sierra Leone athletes are to compete, the National Paralympic Committee team leader Yunisa Dinkagbo in Tokyo explains.
Now we have registered a total number of 4 athletes to participate in the Tokyo 2020 Paralympic. It's the biggest, you know, ever representation we've had for Sierra Leone Paralympic team. Now, over the years, in all of the Paralympic teams, we had only one athlete, you know, competing. The last Paralympic Games in Rio 2016, we had only one athlete. It was the same thing in London 2012. Now we registered a total number of 4, but because of this mishap in the traveling, we have 2 that will be competing in the next 2 days. We're not too sure whether the athlete in powerlifting and then badminton will be able to make it. But those in athletics are in the village and they are ready to compete in 2 days' time.
According to the team leader, the athletes are new, but their minds are focused because they've gone through rigorous training and are prepared to give a better representation.
The minds are focused because ever since they arrived, they've been training. The coaches have been doing their work. The athletes are focused. The athletes appear to have gone through the crucibles that will enable them to give a better representation. There are new athletes. One of them, in fact, is a minor. They are school-going children, but they participated very well in the qualification tournament in Tunisia. So they are not new at international level. They might be very new at this high level at the Paralympic, but they've been training, they've properly acclimatized, and they appeared very focused. I saw them, and I have seen some determination for them to be able to be counted among the best of the best in the world. In a big event like this one, and coming from Sierra Leone, I think the most important thing is a good participation, better performance. We all are yearning for them to reach the medal position. The reality is, it's a big game, it's difficult, but the athletes are prepared. They want to ensure that the narrative is changed this time around. You know, we've been having only one athlete, now 2 athletes that will be competing in athletics. That will be in the long jump and javelin throw. So they will put up their best, and I am sure they will have a good performance which we'll be able to cherish when we get back up.
The National Paralympic Committee team leader notes that Sierra Leone has lately seen an exceptional rise in Paralympic athletes, alluding that the National Olympic Committee has been very supportive.
This is what many people will have described to be, you know, unbelievable growth. Paralympic Committee that had only one athlete years ago. Now we have over 30 Paralympic athletes in the country. Now, of the 30 of them, we have about 10 of them who are properly classified according to the IPC level. All 10 of them were in the qualification series. And I think that is a good thing. We have now more support from the National Olympic Committee and the government of Sierra Leone than ever before. A lot of competition is now being organized for people with disability. So the Paralympic Committee has gone beyond an unimaginable position. So in fact, we are hoping and we are thinking that it will be much more bigger as the preparation for the Paris 2024.
However, in a sea of over 4,000 athletes, Sierra Leoneans are hopeful to see a splendid performance by the Fantastic Four and what laurels they will bring back home. Ophaniel Goodin, VOA.
And as we close up the show, let's stay in West Africa, in Gambia, where the country's Football Federation has cancelled training matches that the Gambian national team, known as the Scorpions, were supposed to have in the Comoros. The games were scheduled between August the 30th to September 2021. The football body says that the trip cancellation was necessitated by what it called the inability of the Minister of Youth and Sports to access the required funds to finance the training camp. Panda Rimba reports from Raleigh, North Carolina.
With barely few months before the upcoming AFCON tournament scheduled for 2022, the Gambia Football Federation and the Ministry of Sports have been confronted with financial challenges. The Gambia Football Federation says it lacks funds to facilitate the test matches that the senior national team was supposed to have in Comoros. The Scorpions were supposed to leave Banjul today for Comoros, but that trip has been cancelled. Lamine Jase is the General Secretary of Gambia's Football Federation.
Normally, it's the government that funds the national teams, and all our previous training camps and test matches were funded by government. So they were not able to mobilize the required fund to have this one done in time. So it is important to state that in time, because, you know, the training camps are scheduled for, there is a date that we are supposed to play with teams in Cameroon. So we were not able to gather all the money.
The Comoros trip was meant to help prepare the Scorpions ahead of the upcoming AFCON games. But Jase says, due to time constraint, the scheduled trip couldn't materialize.
Remember that all the sports are now funded, and other, not only sports, but also some youth activities from the sport levy. And then the levy is collected by GRA from the GSM companies, or from the respective companies that normally pay. So sometimes it takes some process, collected from GRA, GRA pay to Minister of Finance, Finance pay to the Minister of Youth and Sports, and then the Youth and Sports distributed to the respective sporting bodies that quest for it.
Despite the trip cancellation, Jase is hopeful that the Scorpions would be able to take part in future test matches.
However, we are getting prepared because we have about three other windows before AFCON. So we have a September window, we have October, and then we have one in November. So there is still a chance for our national team to attend a training camp and play maybe two or three test matches before the AFCON proper.
The government and GFF have been taking heat since the announcement of the trip cancellation. They have been accused of not prioritizing sports development, a charge just denied.
So to say that government is not prioritizing sports, really, I am not going to subscribe to that idea. Of recent, what they have been pumping, I know of football, but for that, I can speak for, you understand? So remember our match in Gabon, you know, during the qualifier, chartered flight. Those are in millions. Chartered flight alone for our last match is costing about 11 million just for the chartered flight alone, just for the flight.
Jase says the government have other development commitments to address. He says sectors such as healthcare, education, and agriculture are key on government's development agenda. When asked by the sunny side of sports whether the cancellation of the Comoros trip was not an embarrassment to the GFF, Jase had this to say.
It's not a desirable situation. I wouldn't say an embarrassment, because what you don't also have, you don't have. Well, we have, I'll tell you an example. We went to for a training camp funded by government in Portugal. We're supposed to play with Guinea, and Guinea boycotted it. They couldn't make it. You know why? Because the players wanted the government to pay them their match bonus, and they did not. They refused to play. They make excuses to say it was COVID, because obviously the government, maybe of course football authorities, did not want to tell people. But we know it was not just COVID. That was there as well.
VOA couldn't verify the veracity of Jase's claims over the Guinean game boycott. The Scorpions recently boycotted a meeting with President Barrow amid demands for Padiem allowances. Jase pointed out that the trip cancellation has nothing to do with the recent Scorpions boycott of the president's meeting. For the sunny side of sports, this is Pandering by reporting from Raleigh, North Carolina.
And that wraps up this August the 30th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington, wishing you a very good day ahead, Africa.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all,
can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.